Good afternoon. This is Cross Currents. I'm Carolyn Heldman. Coming up on today's show, the Aspen Homeless Shelter and a benefit at the Little Nell Hotel. The Aspen Homeless Shelter was founded to help those Aspen residents who've fallen on hard times. Year-round, Aspen Homeless Shelter offers a day center with amenities most people take for granted: showers, phones, computers, food. In addition to the basics, the daycare center provides job counseling and case management. And during the winter months, the Aspen Homeless Shelter also provides a night shelter, thanks to the generosity of St. Mary's Church on Main Street in Aspen. While the shelter first and foremost serves the most fundamental needs of the homeless population in Aspen, it also offers resources to break the cycle of chronic homelessness. On Saturday, May 14th at 6 o'clock in Element 47 at the Little Nell Hotel, there's a benefit for the Aspen Homeless Shelter featuring Bijou's Little Curry Shop, a guest chef dinner. Chef Bijou Thomas, founder and owner, will prepare a custom three-course menu featuring authentic Indian food, and donations will be accepted via cash or check during the dinner for the Aspen Homeless Shelter. Joining me on today's show from the Little Nell Hotel, Mae Selby, Dr. Vince Savage, he's the executive director of the Aspen Homeless Shelter, and Rabbi David Siegel of the Aspen Jewish Congregation, who serves on the board of the Aspen Homeless Shelter. And in full disclosure, I am also on the board of the Aspen Homeless Shelter. I asked Vince to give us a history of the Aspen Homeless Shelter.
The homeless shelter, Aspen Homeless Shelter, grew out of the Aspen Homeless Coalition, which had many, many participants from multiple different agencies, kind of looking at what are we going to do about people who are living outside. And in 2009, we incorporated as a 501c3 and were operated under the arm or wing of the Aspen Valley Medical Foundation. So we've been around, 7 years then now? And our principal mission is to keep anyone in Pitkin County and as much as we can the rest of the valley from succumbing to the elements. In other words, from living outside. Secondarily, we don't want people to go hungry. We don't think that anybody in Pitkin County should go hungry. So we have the 365-day-a-year hot evening meal program as one of our three thrusts. So that's really what we do primarily.
Have visits increased in the past couple of years?
Yeah, it has. And it's hard to measure whether that's a plus or a minus, because ideally we'd like to get everybody who's homeless mainstreamed and working and into housing. But there's a percentage of the people we serve that may just not be capable of doing that in this kind of economic environment, workforce environment. And then as we do help people mainstream, there are new people that become homeless. So there's kind of a flow in and out of our organization and those we help.
How many people on average do you serve in the winter nights when you're operational?
Somewhere in the low 20s is what the overnight, which only runs from December 1st till the end of March, which is in itself difficult because there's a lot more cold nights than just between December 1st and end of March. So a lot of what we do then is people that want to help will run drives to donate winter clothing and camping gear and so forth. So even though we are aware that some of these folks are going to likely be camping somewhere not recommended, we're most primarily concerned with them not succumbing to the elements and freezing to death. And that has happened in this valley. People have frozen to death here who were homeless.
On both sides of the season, haven't there been times when you've opened early?
Yes.
Or stayed open.
2 years ago in November, thanks to the Aspen Community Foundation coming up with some funding at the last minute, we were able to open just ahead of a big winter blizzard that came near Thanksgiving, and we wouldn't have normally been open yet then.
When the shelter isn't operational, where are the patrons going?
There's a total hodgepodge of what people do to survive. And you know, I really got to admire some of our clientele because they're very creative. Not always 100%, you know, mainstream in what their solutions are. They may live in cars, which is not legal. They may be living in places, you know, prohibited, as a police report says, trespassing places prohibited. Or camping, and sometimes camping in campgrounds, but usually camping someplace they've found on their own, but that so out of the way that they're really not causing anybody trouble. So that's the situation. And then in the summer, it's a little easier on them, you know, but often people ask, why would anybody choose to be homeless in Aspen because, you know, it's cold here. Skiing in Aspen, yes, but being homeless. And the answer to that is that a large majority of the people that we serve are people that are from this community. Some were born here at Aspen Valley Hospital. Some went to Aspen High School and graduated. Others have been here for decades working in the trades or the hospitality industry. And this is their home. They identify. Their friends are here. They identify themselves as locals.
You can't paint them with a broad brush, but can you give us some ideas of what would lead to homelessness?
Well, economics is certainly part of it. If you lose your job, especially if you're in employee housing, it's just a matter of weeks before you lose your housing. So that's a big part of it. With other people, it's maybe a more chronic situation of what I like to call sometimes, you know, attitudinally impaired. You know, they're carrying a chip on their shoulder. It's hard for them to stay employed. Or the employment they have is very seasonal. There are plenty of people that if they had a 12-month economic picture of what they have in the on-season in the winter or the on-season in the summer could make it. But they have trouble making it over the off-season because if you have rent to pay and utilities to pay, that's a 12-month-a-year prospect. But if you're only making income, you know, the 4 months of the winter and 4 months of the summer, that leaves some other shoulder seasons, we like to call it, where sometimes people lose their housing just because they can't make it over the shoulder season.
Rabbi Siegel, when did you get involved? When did you join the board and why?
It must have been about 5 years ago, soon after I moved to town. I've been here 6 years almost. And the then director, and this was before Vince was the director. He was involved in other ways. And Chris Marsh, who's with the Medical Foundation, approached me and invited me to be a part of it. And I really saw it as rooted in a moral or faith commitment to a healthy community and to caring about the values that we preach on a Friday night, in our case, or my colleagues who are ministers on a Sunday morning, that it's not enough to just preach them in the walls of your worship space. It's supposed to be something that you live out in public also. So I'm engaged because I care about what Aspen is, what values Aspen is, not just talks about, but actually manifests. So I'm honored to be a part of it.
Is one of the biggest challenges that you have as an organization and as a board just making people aware that there is, in fact, a homeless situation or problem in this community?
Certainly, one of the most frequent questions I get is, are there really homeless people here? And the second question is often, where do they come from? On the assumption that they cannot come from here, but they do. And the thing that I point out oftentimes, even though our primary mission is serving those people in need, those really most vulnerable people in our community, we're also serving the community at large by providing this alternative. And one of the reasons people don't realize how many homeless people are here is we do a pretty fair job of keeping a lot of people off the streets and out of the art openings and hopefully out of the ER and other places where in typical communities the homeless have a big impact, which is not always positive. So, you know, we see our mission as twofold in that regard. We're serving the community at large by providing this alternative. Now, not everybody who's homeless uses us. There are a few people who are just distrusting of any organization, even if it's just there for them.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. My guest today, Mae Selby of the Little Nell Hotel, Dr. Vince Savage, the executive director of the Aspen Homeless Shelter, and Rabbi David Siegel, who's on the board of the Aspen Homeless Shelter. In full disclosure, I also serve on that board. We're speaking about a benefit that the Little Nell Hotel is hosting for the Aspen Homeless Shelter Saturday, May 14th, a guest chef dinner featuring Bijou's Little Curry Shop with Chef Bijou Thomas from Boulder and Denver. What other services are there in the Valley?
Well, there's Feed My Sheep down in Glenwood Springs, which has a really different clientele because they're so close to I-70. And Carbondale's trying to start some homeless services. I've been coordinating and advising them on that, but they probably won't have a shelter per se. They're just trying to find a way to feed people and clothe them and so on.
Are those communities' populations of homeless increasing also?
I believe they are. In fact, I was just talking to someone in Glenwood Springs yesterday, and they said, you know, this marijuana legalization thing has created a huge influx of homelessness in the Glenwood Springs area, particularly on 8th Street, because there's free Wi-Fi there, and there's, you know, not illegal to smoke marijuana, and they've got people coming from out of state down there just to be in Colorado and participate in this melee of legality. So we don't seem to have that much problem. You know, we've got our people that are flirting with addictions, but it's more of an alcohol problem than we see that. So,
you were mostly being supported financially by the Aspen Valley Medical Foundation when it was still in existence?
Yes, that they were basically our parent organization, and David and other board members along the way, you know, have been a fantastic asset in trying to help us stay solvent. But it is an ongoing kind of living quarter to quarter, which doesn't make it really relaxing. We are really looking at, aside from this upcoming fundraiser with the help of the Little Nell, we're really trying to find a more sustainable way year after year to have a revenue stream that would keep this going. And it's not a huge expense. I mean, our budget is less than $300,000 a year just to pay everybody and cover everything pretty much 24/7 most of the year. But it's a challenge, you know.
I just wanted to add that, just a plug for Vince in a way, because I think when we brought him on as the director, it was with the understanding that he would run a program whose funding was basically taken care of by the foundation. And he brought, you know, decades of experience in all the kind of service providing that we needed. And then pretty soon into that, we became financially independent, and he stepped up and became a fundraiser. And we were sort of by the seat of our pants there, a board that didn't really even think in terms of fundraising, but we're trying to start that. And Vince made it happen and kept us going and still keeps us going kind of single-handedly. I don't think that's an overstatement. The board is good, and it's good people, but Vince really rolled up his sleeves and just became a fundraiser.
Tell me about your background. You can speak to that
if
you want.
Well, I was going
to
just say to that briefly,
yeah.
You know, as an executive director, I feel really lucky and really proud to have put this board together. We've got pretty much all the faith community represented here in town, and lots of other really good mover and shaker, well-educated, well-experienced people. So that's a real plus.
Full disclosure, I am on the board, and I'm only going to say that right now because you said well-educated, well-spoken. So my introduction
you
right
can
there.
You can bask in that glory there.
What is your background?
I grew up in a university environment. My father was an investigative journalist, so I've always been kind of somewhere left of Karl Marx, or at least left of Bernie, and you know, I've been feeling the burn since I was a kid, but I've tried to find institutional ways to help make that a reality rather than just being on a soapbox. So, you know, I volunteered with Martin Luther King's organization when I was a teenager, got to know Jesse Jackson, did all kinds of stuff like that, went to the Middle East in the 60s to help with refugees there. I've just, unfortunately, I guess one of those people who just feels better trying to help. It doesn't make you rich, but it can make you feel enriched.
How'd you come to Aspen?
I came here because I was a consultant for American Medical International and St. Luke's Hospital. Huh. And they hired me to come up and look at their alcohol and drug treatment program, which was primarily a cocaine treatment program, which was up by Art and Betty Pfister's house right at the base of Tyhack Lifts. We had a relationship with ABH. We hired Bud Glissman and Ann Mass as our unit physicians, and we've always had a relationship with the food service out of AVH. They've always been the ones that we contracted with to do that. So I have a 30-year relationship with the food service at AVH. But that business there, and they asked me, you know, they liked my recommendations and said, how about if you come to move to Aspen and be the director? And I was really preferring to stay a freelance consultant. But I said, okay, Aspen sounds like something worth a try. And so I got here in 1986, and I've been here ever since. And that's, in a nutshell, my background. And, you know, I found this niche here, ran the ARU, as they called it, until we kind of folded it in the mid-90s out of managed care conflicts. And, you know, I teach conflict resolution. I teach, you know, customer relations. And I've taught all that stuff in MBA programs around the world, in Iceland and Bermuda and for the military and for Lockheed Martin. And, you know, I just do a lot of stuff and therefore have a pretty broad array of experience, you know, relating to all kinds of people from different stations in life.
Do you offer any of the denizens of the shelter care, mental health care, conflict resolution that you just alluded to?
We do have a large case management tract. However, especially since I've come into the role of fundraiser, we're doing a bit less of that. The fact is our whole organization is run by 3 staff members and a couple of part-timers. So we're fairly stretched, and there's things we can imagine doing that we would love to do that we just don't have the budget to do. We work closely with other agencies, the county, Mitzi Lettingham, and the adult protection groups, and even Alpine Legal. All of these people in our little case management wing of the Health and Human Services building pretty much coordinate and work together. And so that's a real plus. I mean, we can, you know, refer people back and forth to Catholic Charities and other agencies up and down the valley.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. My guest today, Mae Selby of the Little Nell Hotel, Dr. Vince Savage, the executive director of the Aspen Homeless Shelter, and Rabbi David Siegel, who's on the board of the Aspen Homeless Shelter. In full disclosure, I also serve on that board. We're speaking about a benefit that the Little Nell Hotel is hosting for the Aspen Homeless Shelter Saturday, May 14th, a guest chef dinner featuring Bijou's Little Curry Shop with Chef Bijou Thomas from Boulder and Denver. There's the operation out at the HHS building, out by the hospital. Yeah. And then the overnight shelter in the winter months is in the basement of St. Mary's Catholic Church. What's going to happen during the renovation if that moves forward?
Father Hilton, who is another member of our board, assures us that we're good through this winter of 16-17. After that, we're not sure. And of course, we've got wonderful pie-in-the-sky ideas about being part of a group that starts a emergency transitional housing operation, something we've thought of calling the Helen Clandridge Center. I've talked to Eric and his wife about that and a lot of other people. We were kind of hoping the city of Aspen would give us a piece of property at one point and that we would get one of my other board members, John Silich, to come up with the construction plans and we would do something really big. But in the meantime, we have to operate day to day. So, you know, we have our dreams, but in the meantime, we're trying to keep people from freezing to death or going hungry.
And good for next year.
We're good for next year.
Day-to-day operational needs are being met through your staff of 3, you and 2 others. Mm-hmm. Because you're not operational in except for those winter months, what does the staff do during the day on the other months? You're still providing a place. It's just not overnight?
We're providing a place for people to shower, do laundry, and
eat,
and do job searches on a computer we have set up for them. We have a private phone line for them that does not get answered, homeless shelter, so that they can just use that number if they don't have a cell phone to look for jobs. And that way we think that's discreet, you know, because who wants to maybe hire somebody when the number they give is answered Aspen Homeless Shelter? You know, people have images of what homelessness is about. And I just had a half-hour talk today with one of our mainstreaming people, a woman who just came in to say, you know what, I'm in housing now, I got a job, a whole lot of stuff to help people get their needs met. But, you know, she's like one of our success stories. And we've got a few others that, you know, they're kind of chronic and they're around, but we're still offering them this alternative, you know.
So raising money for the homeless shelter, how did Little Nell get involved, Mae Selby?
Well, Simon Chen, who's our managing director, is involved with the shelter on the board, I believe.
Yes, yeah, he just joined our board.
Yeah, and he's very proud to champion all your efforts. And we have a really fun dinner coming up. We bring in chefs on occasion. We have a guest chef series. And the first time we did it was last December with Bijou Thomas out of Denver. And he's from Indian descent, but grew up in the U.S. as well. And he's a cyclist and really active. And he got into cooking because he was biking with all these pro riders, and he worked with the team, like kind of as a friend supporting the team and as a cycling team. And then he started cooking for them because he just had these great ideas for how to cook non-processed foods for them and making their bars and their meals. And he got really hooked into it. And they came back to Boulder, and friends encouraged him to start a restaurant. He started the Little Curry Shop and has grown to 3 restaurants now and 3 locations. And now he is, and they're all in Denver. And now he's coming back up for a second time on May 14th. We'll do a dinner with him, and it's geared towards locals. We did it last December, and it sold out in a second. And the whole restaurant, the whole hotel smelled so amazing with these spices, and it was amazing. And so this time we're doing it again, off-season, and we price it, you know, reasonably so everyone can come. And then we ask for donations, all going towards the shelter. So we got involved.
Who was the beneficiary last time? That you?
There wasn't anyone. We just did it as a dinner. So we did it as 3 courses for $47, kind of a play on Omelette 47, the restaurant. And this time we're doing the same thing and just asking if you'd like to donate. We'll have envelopes on the tables and, you know, your discretion, whatever you want to donate. You pay for dinner, okay. And then separately we'll take cash or check donations. As little or as much as you'd like to give.
And where is it going to take place in?
So it's in Little Nell at the restaurant called Element 47.
In the rest, the yeah. big restaurant.
Yeah, okay. The main restaurant. So we're closed right now for spring. We reopen May 12th. And then.
Oh, right away.
And then it comes on Saturday night. Yeah, the 14th. Yeah, it should be a lot of fun. And Vigi is a great character, and he'll walk around all the tables and greet everyone. And our chefs are so excited. They love to cook with those ingredients. And we had such a great response. We wanted to bring them back, and we thought, since it's such a community-oriented event, why not choose a nonprofit that could benefit from it? So that's where we all kind of came together, coalesced.
David, what's your take on being in this community and how it differs from, or not, from another place that you may have been where people really do come together like this? May from the Little Nell, Simon Chen, speaking of doing this type of event. How does it compare?
I was really struck when Simon called us together, Carolyn and I met with him, and he spoke very personally and very emotionally about how his own employees of SKECO, of Little Nell, are themselves struggling with housing and homelessness and just the affordability of life here. And I think that there are a lot of business leaders in this town who either get it or are starting to get it, that it's actually in their interest, in the broader interest of the whole community, to do something constructive about this and productive. And so much of our political discourse is about like handouts versus people being responsible for themselves. And it's just more complicated than that when you really look at people's daily lives and the factors that really figure into what makes for a viable life somewhere. And it's kind of a reckoning for Aspen to say, what are we as a town and as a community? Who are we? And I think the values you just talked about, like people coming together like this, and it just being sort of like automatic for Simon and May and them to say, oh, let's do this again, but let's have a community element. I think that's to the core of what Aspen is about. I just think we need to highlight it, celebrate it, and embrace it more. And it's across all industries. You talk to school administrators, hospital administrators, retaining qualified staff people. It's very hard when they can't afford to live in a place, and that is staring us in the face here in Aspen and down the valley. I live in Basalt, and I have this conversation with Basalt leaders all the time, and I even heard that continuing care retirement community plan that has been nixed, that was going to go in behind my house in Southside, there was I think a consulting firm brought in to look at the viability of assisted living or independent living, and one of their red flags was ability to recruit and retain qualified nursing staff in this place. And housing prices are a serious part of that problem. So we should really all care about that. Like, that's a problem that affects, if not us now, then someday, or someone we're taking care of or are going to be taken care of. So, you know, if you want the schools to be good, you have to have teachers who can live here. If you want mm-hmm. your business to run well, you need workers who can reasonably live here. So it's a communal problem. We got to face it as a community.
There was a story recently in the news on Aspen Public Radio, local news, about the mayor of Carbondale having to resign her post because she can no longer afford to live in the town of Carbondale, having to move to Redstone with her family. Hmm. So it's just the ripple keeps moving a little bit wider and wider and wider.
It's like throwing a big flat rock in the mill pond. The ripples go for great distance. I know I have a place in Marble, and the prices up there are getting a little bit prohibitive for some people. And even if you buy there, you got to look at commuting an hour or more and the costs and the time and money of doing that. So,
because of the way you run the operation and because it's so lean and well-run, the impact of coming to the dinner at Little Nell, for example, and spending 40, 50 bucks or something, making a donation of 50 bucks. How much impact will that have on the operations of the Aspen Homeless Shelter?
We have to pay staff. We have to keep it professional. You know, it's not the kind of an operation you can really run with just volunteers. It would be just a liability to try to do so. Mm-hmm. And it's challenging, you know, to the array of people's issues and the array of personalities and so on. It's not a treatment center for alcohol and drugs, nor for mental health. But we have an awful lot of the dynamics there that day centers at mental health hospitals sometimes would show, only our people aren't on meds. So it's pretty challenging. And, you know, I wouldn't underestimate that at all. Challenging to keep it run frugally, and I'm pretty much of a good penny pincher, but there are limits. I mean, there's just things that you have to spend money on. So we really appreciate having the Aspen Ski Company and Little Nell on board with us. We think that's a real plus. This is an opportunity for locals, one, to come to the wonderful Little Nell and have a fabulous evening out and not be competing with the tourist, you know, season.
With an Indian theme takeover,
yeah,
which you don't find curry food here.
Yeah, with something really interesting and new. I hope that, you know, most of our board and that other people and other community leaders around town will take advantage of doing this. And, you know, sure, it's a great cause, you know.
And one thing I would add beyond the financial, which is important, it's back to an earlier question about the awareness and profile. And I think that there's something that Little Nell offers by doing an event like this that we don't get a lot of, which is exposure, honestly. Partly, you know, it's like the downside of success is that you don't see the problem on the streets because Vince and the staff are good at it. But that other thing of like, it's a resort and people don't want to talk about the problems in a resort. And so all the more credit to Little Nell for saying, yeah, we care about this. We will stand for this.
We definitely wanted to shed light on this organization and all the work you guys do.
At the premier diamond at the bottom of Aspen Mountain that
right.
we have in the town.
Well, it's definitely kind of a, I don't know, it's a dichotomy of sorts. We house people with this beautiful luxury hotel and then we're hoping to support people who have no hotel or no home or bed. So we think it's really important, though, to understand that.
It's very community-minded.
I really like the juxtaposition of the wealthy side of our community, which is wonderful, and then the other end of the continuum, which is the people that can barely, you know, stay warm and stay fed.
Yeah.
I think to have a collaboration between those two ends of the scene is great, and we just think it's a great thing.
Little Curry Shop Takeover Dinner at the Nell is going to be on Saturday, May 14th, 6 p.m. is when it starts, and it's $47 a person, plus tip, plus tax. That's how we format it. And you can reserve through Open Table. You can go to our website, thelittlenell.com, and go to our dining page and learn more there. You can reserve through Open Table. You can call 970-920-6330. We're closed right now, so the response might not be immediate, but we are definitely responding.
May Selby, Senior PR Manager at the Little Nell, Rabbi David Siegel of the Aspen Jewish Congregation, and Dr. Vince Savage of the Aspen Homeless Shelter. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. If you missed the show or would like to hear it again, go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Have a great afternoon.